Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Support for the Boner Planet Podcast is presented by
Dead Downwind, Tinks, Shadowhunter Blinds, Burris Optics, Dead Ringer, The Grind, Bomar Archery, Element Outdoors, Reveal Cellular Camera, HHA and HHA USA, Black Eagle Arrows,
Cobra Archery,
Camp Chef,
Novix Outdoors,
and caffeine support provided by Deer Camp Coffee.
Hey guys, welcome to the Boner Planet Podcast. On tonight's show, we're talking PSC with Cade from PSC. So, dude, how is it going? What's new at PSC? What is new over there right now?
Man, what? So, and I don't want to give everything away, but we got some new stuff coming out, getting ready to come out this fall. And then trying to work with in different camo companies, trying to get some stuff that a lot of people in the industry are, you know, starting to wear and you see more and more of. So we're working on things of that, just keeping the ball rolling, trying to make sure that we get everything rolling out. People are got their orders in, hunt season's coming up. So we're really just making a strong push and making sure all our customers and suppliers are happy with the product and get it out there to the people.
I know when we talked offline here, we talked about the Expo NXT, which I will ask you a lot about here coming up shortly. But before I do that, I do want to point out, like, majority of people might know this, but people who don't shoot PSC might not realize that you guys have a carbon bow. And the Carbon Air stealth bow is literally one of the best carbon bows I ever shot in my life. It is like really nice. And I guess tell us about that. I know it's something that you guys push it, but I don't see like a ton about it, but I know it's definitely one of the best carbon bows out there.
So yeah, so our carbon compared to competitors is all made in-house. So our carbon technology all the way through the process of creating the whole riser to the limbs and everything, the process is all in-house. Coming in, it's weighing, I think off the top of my head, it's coming in at 3.5 pounds. So just, it's screaming, so lightweight for anyone thinking, you know, backcountry hunt, that's the bow you should go to. It's got the speed that rivals anyone in the industry. And then a huge thing is it doesn't get cold because it's carbon, and the handle or the grip is carbon. So you're not, hands never going to get cold when you're out hunting in the cold conditions. And then myself, that's what I hunt with. So I was fortunate enough to shoot a mule deer out here in Arizona in January. And I live and swear by the Carbon Mach 1. I can shoot it out to 100 yards and get tight groupings. You know, I can shoot 20 yards. It's 32 inches axle to axle. So for the guys in the Midwest that like a tree stand bow, you know, it's not going to be huge or super long for you. And then for out west, it still has a long enough ATA that you're going to get stability and be able to shoot longer distances. So that's something. And we got some cool stuff coming regarding carbon here coming up in a couple of months. So, to the Mach 1. It's a great shooting bow and hands down the best carbon bow on the market.
Yeah, wait, now it's super adjustable too, right? I mean, in regards to draw weights and lengths and all that.
Yeah, so which is pretty cool. I think I've heard you guys talk about it on your podcast before and in some of the videos. With our Evolve Cam series, it has the you can adjust your draw length, you know, all the way from, what is it?
25 to 30 and a half.
25 to 30 and a half, yeah. So, you know, it's really a bow. We try to make a bow for everyone. Obviously, if you have a longer draw length, you know, you're kind of out of luck on that. But, you know, for a guy that, you know, is a 29-inch draw or a 26-inch draw, or the guy who's 30 and a half inch draw like myself can all shoot it. And then with that Evolve Cam, you know, we have that on a lot of our Pro Series models, so you can adjust that. And then I saw you had talked about it in your Expedite video that you can adjust the let off from 80, 85 to 90% on the high let off module, and you can get a low let off module for the Evolve cams as well, which is pretty unique and cool.
And you guys offer this bow, it says in black, Cuyu Verde, Mossy Oak Country, and First Light Fusion, which is really unique. And actually, I didn't realize you guys added in Cuyu and First Light. That's actually really cool. I didn't realize you guys had that in these bows. I'm so used to just Mossy Oak, you know, like every time it was either black, Mossy Oak, but that's really exciting. I love that because I feel like the consumers have spoken and there are a lot of other camos they want, right? They want a variety. And I think that you guys, by adding that, it's really hitting that home run. I also want to point out that, you know, a lot of people ask, they'll ask me like, what's the best, you know, bows, what's the future bows? To be honest, in my opinion, I think carbon is the future. Like, I do think that if you want the best of the best of the best, this is your bow. I mean, there's really, in my opinion, there's no, I mean, the carbon is unbelievable. I mean, literally warm to the touch. It's super light. It's extremely durable. So when people say like, oh, you know, what's the best of the best? I'm like, well, technically it would be the carbon, you know? I mean, if you really want the best riser money can buy, you want carbon, and they're definitely not cheap. I know they're pretty pricey, no matter who has the carbon bow, but that's okay, because you're going to pay for quality. If that's what you want, that's what you pay. You can take out your wallet and pay for, right? Just like anything. It could be a driver for golf, right? If you want the best, you're going to pay for it. It's just how it's got to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's correct.
So, all right, Tim, did you, before I get into the Expedite, since we have a lot to talk about that bow, did you want to ask anything, Tim, about the crossbows?
So I know the Warhammer. Yeah, I've seen that out there. When did that actually come out, though? Was that just recently?
So the Warhammer came out at ATA 2019, I believe.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Yes. So it's going on its second year run. It's a fabulous shooting bull. I know the engineers, I talked to them last week, and they said they're going to, you know, continue on with that and then try and make some upgrades to it. So, but yeah, like back to your point, it came out at ATA, I believe, 2 years ago.
Yeah, what I loved about it, because I was there in that 2019 when you guys first launched it. What I was really impressed with was that axle to axle. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're talking about under 7 inches. I think closer to six inches, if I remember it's right, for the axle to axle at full draw. And when I picked it up, it was just absolutely phenomenal. I mean, the design, the balance of the handle and everything. So you have any, so just in that crossbow segment, are you guys looking at adding any new models there?
Potentially for the high end, crossbow, we are, working on something. The engineers didn't tell me a time frame as to when we're looking at it, but there is modifications being done to just try to upgrade it. Just listening to consumer demand and what the consumers are, you know, because crossbow market's huge and there's a lot of rival companies that make high-end crossbows. So if we're going to compete, we got to, you know, kind of cater to what the people are purchasing and want to purchase.
I mean, let's be honest. It kind of makes sense for a PSC to be doing a crossbow, right? I mean, it just makes sense. Like, you guys are a bow company. You know, you should have one of the best crossbows in the market. And this is probably a great, I haven't shot this bow, but it looks amazing. It looks center balanced to me. But, you know, that's the thing right now. Some of the bigger brands doing crossbows don't really make a compound bow, which I find interesting. It's like, wow, that's weird. They're kind of like separate or segregated from the compound market, which is odd to me because you guys use the same materials pretty much, you know, besides the trigger mechanism. And, you know, there's still a rail, there's still an arrow or a bolt, whatever you want to call it, but, and there's still limbs and a string. So it's just a common, makes sense. But PSC has been making crossbows for a long time, right? You guys have a long history.
Yeah, and Pete developed and came out with not too long ago the TAC-15, which kind of paved the way for all of every crossbow company to kind of, you know, build it off that platform. And
that's interesting you said that. I forgot about that bow, and that was kind of like the original bow that was that style, like longer bow, a lot of power, but for some reason didn't take off right away. It seemed like it took off later for some reason, but at the time people didn't want to spend that much money, you know. It was interesting how it's evolved over time and the amount of money people want to spend. So oh man, Expedite NXT, I tell you what, this this bow blew me away. I'm not gonna lie, like I was 100% genuine in that video, and I couldn't believe, and I've had some experiences with bows before, some PSC, some other brands. When you talk about speed bows, you have a huge hump to overcome in a cam system. Yep. But this bow was like nothing I've ever shot when it comes to speed bows. I mean, it was the smoothest speed bow I think I've ever shot to date. So hats off to you guys for that. That's number one.
It goes to the engineers. I can't take any credit for that one.
But number two, it is just a great bow. Like, I was very impressed. Now, this is where it puts you in a weird spot, I guess, as a company and as a consumer. Is that, you know, like, because that's generally probably not the bow you guys are pushing. You're probably pushing a different model. And so it comes to that thing. It's like, all right, do I want speed or do I want more comfort? But this thing's pretty dang comfortable for a speed bow. And that's where I think it drives, you know, consumers like, what do? Do I go for speed and I'm still getting a little comfort? I go for just comfort and less speed, you know? So I think that's where it comes to, like, ahead, trying to figure out what's the options, right? And there's just so many, you guys have so many different bows. It makes it pretty hard.
So with that, what I can tell you is the thing that is, like, I wouldn't say a shot in the foot for us with that bow, but it's just the draw length that only goes to 30 inches. Mm. So it inhibits a lot of the guys, you know, 30 and a half, like myself, where I'm really bunched up if I try to shoot it, or, you know, a guy that's 31. And, you know, if a guy's 31 inch draw, he's already going to have an incredible amount of speed behind it. And anybody shoots, but you put the speed bow in his hand, like the Expedite, and he's only going to just generate more kinetic energy, more speed. And like you said, it's such a smooth drawing cycle because it has the Evolve cam system on there. And when you grab it, you kind of think with that shorter brace height, it might feel a little uncomfortable. But like you said, after you shoot it a few times, it is a very smooth, very stable, fast shooting bow.
Yeah, no. And so I guess, yeah. So, I mean, for consumers that are listening to this, you know, I would just recommend shooting the bow because it is definitely a showstopper in my mind. Because, like, when you can get that much power and speed on a bow that's that smooth, I mean, it's kind of like it's going to sell itself. I mean, there's no, you know, you don't see many. It doesn't happen very often where it's that smooth being that fast.
Correct.
So, but yeah, that's definitely. So tell us about the EVL 32. Now, where does that fit in? Is that supposed to be a bow that's going to be less speed and supposed to be more comfort, or how does that work?
Yeah. So on the EVL series, we have a wider limb pocket. So compared to the Expedite, so the EVL is going to be a more stable shooting with the wider limb pocket. So when you're at full draw and shooting, it's just going to essentially hold better and perform in a different function than a speed bow. And it's still our high end bow. It's still comparative to the Expedite. It's just a more, I guess you could say the correct word would be like a common industry bow, but with our upgraded features that we have on it, like the PBTS system. So now we can fine tune the Evolve cam system with a little bit of a yoke twist. So there's different comparisons in that as opposed to the Expedite. So with the EVL 32, it still generates those speeds, just not the speed of the Expedite. So yeah, it's kind of just tough because obviously, like you pointed out, the Expedite's kind of, you know, generated to that speed and like the X-Force and the Omen, like you had mentioned. And then the EVL is more kind of our standard Evo bow that we had back in the day. So we're, you know, just kind of give different variations, and you noted earlier to so many different bows cater to a lot of different shooters. So
yeah, no, I think that just speaks to what we talk about a lot, is like, you got to put your hands on it, right? You got to put your hands on it to figure out what fits for you, what you like. You know, because, like, and like you said, I mean, your Expedite only goes up to 30, where the EVL goes a little bit higher, right? It'll go up to, I'm reading here, 30 and a half. So correct. You got a little bit more draw length out of it. So that might be a better fit just because of that. So what have you guys really seen? I mean, in regards to this year, where have you kind of seen people kind of going to within your category of bulls? Have you seen them move towards more of the carbon? Have you seen them move towards more of the speed bow or the comfort bow? Where have you guys kind of seen that land from a consumer standpoint?
From a consumer standpoint, the carbon is taken off extremely for us this year. Just people really like the redesigned grip we have on the Mach 1. And then people really are liking the EVLs. People really liking the drive, which is, you know, it's a Pro Series model. It's at a great price point. So those are doing very well for us. And then I got to say hats off to John Dudley, who we brought on board in 2019, because consumers are really liking both his Mach 1, which is the same as our Mach 1, and then are liking his NTN on an aluminum riser platform. So we see a lot of the switch are kind of, people are kind of going towards the higher end bows. Just like Dave pointed out, you know, you're kind of paying for what you get. So the market kind of seems to shift towards the higher end bows. And then another thing is I'm sure you guys have heard, but the West Coast out here where we are, we see a lot of the carbon and we see a lot of the 34 inch axles being sold. Just folks like shooting out further distances compared to back in the East or the Midwest. So, but to your point, yeah, everything kind of, the carbon's taken off and the EDLs, we can't seem to make enough of them.
Yeah, that's it's actually, I was glad you brought up John Dudley, because that is a great relationship with you guys. And in fact, we were at a Total Archery Challenge and they were there, and I got to talk to Mike Looper a little bit about it and the PSC bows, and it was a great conversation. And I used to deal with Mike way back when he was at the other company, you know, and so I'd known him for a long time. And it was really good to hear his perspective on your guys' bows, you know, since he's so used to other brands. But yeah, that was really cool. And John's just a great guy, and his, you know, the things he knows, I mean, just being an archer for so long and a hunter, it's amazing. So it was nice to see his touch get put into some of your guys' models. I thought that was a really good idea on your guys' part to kind of make that relationship work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been huge for us, and hats off to everything John is doing for, you know, for Knock-On, as well as our marketing efforts and our sales, and just being a brand ambassador for us. He's really doing good, and people are really taking note to, you know, School of Knock and learning. So it helps us tremendously when he says, you know, purchase a PSC, you know, and follow along and learn. Or even if you don't have a PSC, the fact that he's willing to teach people and everything, it's huge.
Oh, for just sure. Yeah. Big help. All right. So one of the things I love about PSC that it actually affects me directly, and it had affected me for a long time, is PSC basically is, and I told Bobby this years ago, and Blake before him and all these guys. But in 2009, when I went to a Bass Pro Shop. I had a different bow brand that was, the bow kept jumping, and I missed like four deer in a row over the last like 2-3 years of having this bow, and I kept missing. And I was like, man, I'm the worst shooter. It's on me, blah, blah, blah. And then I finally decided that this bow's got to go. One more miss, and that was it. So I went to Bass Pro. I picked up a PSC Bow Madness XS, and it was tiny bow, you know, in wide limbs. And I took it. I got it sighted in. I took it out. First deer came in front of me, smoked it, right? It was like, wow, what's going on here? You know, this is like a life-changing. And ever since then, that was actually the start of Bowhunter Planet, right? The very front end of this whole ordeal. And I'll never forget it, because I was like, man, I owe PSC a lot. I got my mojo back, you know. I was like so like down for so many years until I hit that deer. And then, but I guess my point in the conversation here is that I love that PSC has these core series bows, and these bows to me are critical bows, because these are what majority of hunters are going to go out and buy that can afford it, and these are lower cost options and gets people in the field with a great bow. The Stinger's been around a long time, the Brute, you guys still have these names, they're a little different now, as a Max and NXT and all that, but truth be told, you know, you guys kept bringing those names back, because guess what? People need these bows. These are important bows for people who can't afford to spend the higher up amount of money and keep them in the field. And my point being is, even with the cheaper model, I'll still smoke in deer, you know, and that's the most important part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We had a kid that shoots out of here, or not for PSC, but he shoots a PSC and he's out of Tucson. He shot a bull last season with a Stinger, and I believe it was 48 pounds, and got a pass through. So,
wow.
No way.
Yeah, you can get it done, you know. So that Stinger is a great point, and you know, it's a great entry level bow, but it's also a bow, if you know you don't upgrade, you can make work. You can shoot it out to distance. You can still enjoy and have fun and do whatever you please with it.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys just have such a diversity of bows across, right? I mean, you guys even have kid bows, right? You have the micro, which is really, you know, very short draw length, shorter or smaller weights, I should say. So I mean, somebody growing up, I mean, you could start with the PSE and you can end your career with the PSE as well. I mean, you just got such a variety of what you can do.
Yes, 100%. Yeah, to your point. Yeah, so we have the mini burner, so kids, you know, it's a super lightweight bow, and most kids, you know, under 10 or even 10 year olds can't hold a mass weight up on their, from their shoulder. So
yeah,
get that bow, you get shooting, and then you can even transition into an uprising or a stinger, and like you said, you just grow with it, and it does, they'll do them all for you. So that's one of our huge things, is to make a bow for everyone.
Love it. Now, do you guys have anything new in the bow fishing segment?
Not currently, but we got out of last week when I was with the engineers, we were in a product development meeting, and they had mentioned about coming up with a new bow fishing bow, or kind of upgrading some of the accessories that are on it.
Yeah, we get a lot of questions this time of year about the bow fishing, because in Michigan where we're at, and really throughout the country, I mean, bow fishing right now, actually, you know, it's a little bit past when a lot of the tournaments go on and all that kind of stuff up in our region. But I've heard PSD thrown around a lot as a go-to bow fishing bow.
They are 100%. Yeah, I would argue it. The only other one, there's another other company that makes a bow, but ours are probably the flagship bow fishing bows. They're super easy to maintain and take care of, and then our accessories are very easy to use. So it's a staple. I would argue that we make the best bow fishing bow as well.
Yeah,
they look great.
Tell me if you guys are seeing the same thing that we're kind of hearing, is that traditional archery recurve bows are making a huge comeback.
They're making a very strong comeback. Even before COVID, it was making a huge comeback, but with the COVID, the outdoor industry saw a huge surge in just people wanting to get outside and get recreational. And recurves, or even if you're not hunting with them, are a great introduction to getting into archery and just having a good time with family and friends. So 100%, we can't keep our traditional or our recurves in stock, because they're just flying off the shelves.
Yeah, you guys have actually a lot more models than I expected. I mean, you guys got several models out there, spans a wide variety of materials and lengths and weights and all that kind of stuff, which is absolutely amazing. And, you know, Dave and I have been talking recently. I think we both kind of feel the same way, is that it would be really cool to actually get back into recurves a little bit. You know, we spend so much time hunting with crossbows and compounds and all that kind of stuff. It would be quite cool to get back into recurve, not necessarily always for hunting, but like you said, it's just kind of fun. It's different than what you're used to. And even if you're a target shooter, to go out and use a recurve, if you haven't used one in a while, it brings you back. It brings me back to my youth, right? Mm-hmm. Which is cool. But the bows that they are now today versus what I was shooting, you know, 20 years ago as a kid, there's just such a big difference out of them. You wouldn't believe it.
Yeah, well, I'm actually going to try and harvest a javelina come January with the recurve. That's going to be my goal. Nice. Yeah. Cool. So, to your point, I want to get back. I was shooting one over the 4th of July weekend, a recurve, and it was just so enjoyable. And I was like, I know I can get close enough on javelina. I've done it before, so I'm going to try and get one done with the recurve.
Awesome. Now, which recurve are you shooting?
Currently I'm shooting the Shaman. That's what I have set up at 40 pounds, just slinging. I'll probably increase the draw weight or get heavier limbs come when hunting season comes. But right now I'm shooting the Shaman at 40 pounds, and it's so much fun.
Awesome, man. Now, are those collapsible?
Correct. Yeah. So you can take the limbs down. Yep.
Cool. Easy transport then, so you're not carrying around a big stick with you the whole time. I like it. Yeah, we're excited, man. Traditional has been a big topic of conversation around here.
Yeah.
I want to say really over the last, what, Dave, year?
We've really heard a lot more. I want to say Kate is like the fifth person to say they're going to shoot something with a traditional bow this year, actually.
Yeah.
Because it happens like every podcast. I don't know what it is. Everybody's like got this like thing for it. Even Tim does. Tim's trying to go out and do it. And I'd like to do it. I just know I won't be able to do it. You know what I mean? That's my problem. I just don't think I'd be good enough with it. I don't trust myself enough to do that shot on an animal, but that's me, and I'm not. And I actually, to be honest with you, I'm a little bit embarrassed. I didn't realize you guys had so many heritage bows. Like, I feel stupid now, because I just never realized PSC had so many. It's crazy how many you guys have on here. It's literally insane. Are these made in the same place as the other compound bows?
They are not. So they only one of them is made in-house, and all the rest are currently sourced overseas.
Cool. So as far as accessories go, you guys do have a lot of accessories, and I know this has been something you guys have had for a long time. Have you guys been changed? Like, I guess, are there different names now for these accessories that used to be, because I thought they were just PSC accessories before. Is that still the case, or they actually have different brands now?
So our accessories are run under the Black Mountain Outfitters name. They are PSC accessories. We own the name, so they are essentially our product. They're just the reason why we went with that as opposed to just PSC branded accessories is so dealers can purchase them and then not, you know, if someone comes in and, you know, purchases a competitor's bow, but yep. they don't want to put those or, you know, high-end AAE or shoot bars on, they can purchase, you know, a Black Mountain, you know, and still rock, you shoot a competitor's bow and not know it's PSC or, so there's those, yep. those things. And then just for dealers like to purchase them under a different name as opposed to PSC.
It makes sense. I mean, let's be honest, there's about what, 4 or 5 of you guys that do the same. There's like 4 or 5 bow brands that have a sight company and a rest company, mm-hmm. all renamed, rebranded, which makes sense. You know, it's part of your business. That's what you guys do. Are you guys still pushing the Carbon Force arrows?
You know, so it's funny you bring that up because I actually just got out of a meeting about that today. So we are. So we did, our supplier just came into town. We had, every arrow company sources their arrows. Don't let them fool you. And so, just everything that's going on overseas, environmental reasons in different places like Taiwan and China. So different factories had to move. So we got with our supplier because they moved locations. And then so things have been slow, but we got some new stuff. The X-Weave, we're going to push those hard because it's a truest spine arrow across, and it has been. So if we can make that push and consistently get that out there, I think it'll be huge for us.
Yeah, I feel like arrows are big right now. I feel like they're sold out everywhere and people are, you know, pushing to get more. And like you said, the supply chain's been difficult. So I feel like it's been pretty crazy. And yeah, that's cool, man. That's
so really many cool people buying new bows nowadays and, you know, shooting them and losing their arrows, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, more shooters now.
I love it.
Man. So I guess for those who don't know, can you give us just a very brief history of PSE?
Yeah, so PSC, we're going on our 51st year. Pete founded the company out of Illinois in 1970, moved it to Tucson, and we've been out of Tucson. I don't know the exact number of years. We've been here in Tucson. From Pete's Pointer's perspective, we made the first vertical bow with a compound that could shoot. We introduced the first true carbon, all USA made bow, and we're still pushing that strong. Pete's still running the show. I had lunch with him today, so PSC's still going strong. And then I don't really got much more to say other than the fact that it's pretty impressive that we've been going for 51 years and still at the top of the list.
Yeah,
you know, as a bow company.
I'm reading this thing about PSC right now, and it says in here, and I don't know if this is true, and I was going to ask you, see if you might know, you might not know, but it says PSC is known for producing high performance bows. In 2014, the Full Throttle was introduced and is currently the fastest bow on the market, 370 feet per second. Is that still the case?
I believe it is. I don't believe any company has made a standard bow that shoots up to that speed.
Yeah.
I've seen people, and I know people, you know, put a bunch of twisting cables and all this stuff to get those speeds. But as far as a full production bow,
yeah.
I would have to argue.
Yeah, interesting.
It's still the fastest.
All right, Kate. So what's up for hunting this year for you? So I heard the traditional part. What else you got going on, or what's planned?
So earlier I mentioned I harvested a mule deer in January, so I'm tagged out for Arizona. Nice. So I was fortunate enough to draw a Utah early season mule deer tag. So headed up there middle of August, and then from there I'm going straight to New Mexico. I also drew a New Mexico deer tag. And then with some of our partners, I'm headed to Oklahoma to hopefully shoot my first whitetail.
Nice.
Yep, so doing that, and then my roommate, who's an engineer here, drew a pretty nice whitetail coos tag for down by the border. So I know we're going to get down, try and get him a 90-inch or 100-inch coos. And headed to Montana to hunt elk with my father, who drew a nice tag. So,
very yeah. Cool.
That's awesome.
Pretty busy year.
You're going to Oklahoma for your first whitetail. Is that what you said?
Yeah, so I've been on, I hate to admit it, but I've been on whitetail hunts before, and unfortunately I haven't recovered a whitetail yet.
That's okay.
It happens.
And it happens. So if it hasn't happened, with bow hunters, it'll happen at some point.
You're,
so
probably, using a different bow brand.
Yeah, not a PSC.
I'm worried about you going to Oklahoma for your first whitetail, because they got some monster bucks out there, man.
They do.
You shoot one of those monsters on your first one, I don't know if you're going to be able to beat it.
Yeah, he's used to mule deer. He's good to go.
Yeah.
So. It's so funny though, isn't it? Like, it's such a flip. Like, Tim and I, all we hunt is whitetail, but we don't hunt mule deer or coos deer or any of that stuff. So we don't, or elk even. We're like, I don't, never done any of that, but whitetail, yeah, I've shot like 30 of those, you know. It's yeah. like so much different
in right. different parts yeah. of the country. So like, I don't like turkey hunting because I don't like sitting in a blind or just sitting. So I gotta keep telling myself, you know, or download some video games or something, just sitting in a tree stand. I'm like, every time I've been, I'm like, let's just get down and spot and stalk and
yeah. try and find it. We can't do that here. It's too flat. It's
get yourself a Switch and some headphones. You can play some video games. You know, you'll be good.
Yeah.
There'll be times where I'm turkey hunting, I'll just play video games until I see a turkey. I'm like, oh, there's a turkey.
And I will say, I don't know about Oklahoma if they have bad mosquitoes, but thermocells are a real deal. Those things are legit, keeping the mosquitoes away.
I use
them all the time, actually. Not only hunting, but we do a lot of camping up here in the Midwest, you know, from really beginning of April all the way through to hunting season. Mosquitoes get horrible at times, and we break out those thermocells and they're absolutely amazing. Actually, one of my sons is really.
I think we lost him. I think his son's allergic, is what he's going to say.
I hope one of the followers screen grabs that.
Great, Tim. That's funny. Yeah, I was gonna say, I wish we could spot and stalk here, honestly. It would be so fun. It's that's the only thing that stinks here is we can't really do that. We're literally stuck in a tree stand, a ladder stand, or a ground blind for 95% of our hunting, and so it gets very boring, you know. I would love to walk, but with a bow here, it's like they'll see you coming mile away. They're so good. No yeah, hair to work with or anything,
right? And I mean, you guys are veteran hunters, you know, the tactics of hunting whitetail are vastly different than the tactics you do when you're out hunting mule deer. So
yeah, correct. Yeah, I would love to, like, eventually I plan to get out west to do some of those things, but I don't know. I pulled a black bear tag this year in Michigan, so I'm pumped about that, because we haven't usually, we go to Canada, and if you go to northern Canada through the upper peninsula of Michigan, you can hunt black bear, and they're vast black bears up there. I mean, it is like crazy amount of black bears, and but it's been closed now for the 2 years because of COVID, and no one knows if it's going to reopen. But I recommend, even to yourself, if it does reopen, you should go, because the amount of bears that will be ready to be killed will be like double what it normally is, and normally it's 100% kill rate. So can you imagine how many more bears will be there, because no one's been hunting them? They've been like literally 2 years of no one up there hunting besides locals, and there's not that many people that live up there, like 50. That's crazy.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I've never been up to Canada, so that would be a pretty
sweet. It's amazing. It's beautiful country. And it's got, you know, one of the things about the Canadian wilderness that I really took in last time we were there, which was like 2014, is a lot of the ground is like covered in this moss. And when you, or sage moss, I don't know what you call it, but when you step, it's like you're stepping on a pillow. Like, it literally gives and comes back up, and it's quiet, super quiet. In fact, so quiet, I didn't even hear the bear come in. Like, literally impossible to hear the bear walk in. And so it's kind of creepy. It's kind of cool. But it's like, man, you, like, anything could stalk up on you because it's just so quiet out there. It's really weird.
I believe it, yeah.
Wolf packs out there. And, I mean, there's stuff that could kill you so fast up there. And you can't carry a sidearm because you're an American. So it makes it even worse because you can't even, like, protect yourself if crap hit the fan, you know.
Dave's telling us scary bear stories again.
Yeah, it's that's one thing I don't like. Like, I feel
you,
like they should,
you
like
the part where you up. Cried in the tree stand.
I didn't cry.
Well, that's not what I heard.
I'll be honest, I was scared. I'm not gonna lie to you guys. It was creepy. I mean, just imagine you're in the middle of nowhere. Like, I mean, just to get from the campsite to the hunting ground was 30 miles it through woods, like driving at, you know, full speed, like 50, 60 miles an hour. So 30 miles in, they drop you off, and the next closest guide to you is 5 miles. And like, you have no gun, you have no weapon. You literally have a bow and bear mace. That's it. And so there's wolf packs up there. They're huge wolves. Not like here, not like Michigan wolves. They're like big. And anyway, it was creepy. I'm not going to lie. So I did get scared. Yes, it was creepy. And I'm like, oh my God, I don't know what to do. And bear kept coming in. I had bear trying to touch my tree and come up my tree. I think I just don't want to sit by myself next time. I think that's the solution. And we lost them again. All right, Kate. Well, I'll let you go, man. Thanks for tuning in with us. I appreciate that. And more to come. I'm excited to we're getting to the Golden Arrow Awards. So I know PSC's been pumping that as well. So hopefully we get the people voting and give you guys a chance to win that, because you definitely deserve it this year. Those bows are awesome. So great job either way. So great
job. Awesome, man. Appreciate it. Well, yeah, let's hop on again, maybe after hunt season or something, and just chat it back up. It's been a pleasure.
Absolutely. All right, man. Thank you so much. Have a great night. We'll see
you. Yeah, you guys as well. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.